Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. 56% of job seekers say their biggest challenge is finding a job that matches their qualifications, according to an Express Employment Professionals Harris Poll survey. The job search can be a lonely process, but Express Employment Professionals can be your one connection to finding a job that fits. Each year, hundreds of thousands of people find work through their local Express office. Find the location near you at expresspros.com. With no fees for job seekers, visit expresspros.com.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the Best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
It is essentially the midway point of the NFL season. Of course, now there's 17 games, so it's not an exact midway point. Some teams have played 8 games, some have played 9, but we're there. And so a lot of, you know, mid-season awards, you know, nothing being given out, of course, but just kind of who's the MVP at this point? Who's the offensive player of the year at this point, things of that nature. Sports Illustrated's Albert Breer surveyed 38 executives around the NFL, 20 of them GMs, and asked them, you know, for their award choices. And Patrick Mahomes was the overwhelming MVP, received 20 of the 38 votes, more than twice as much as Jalen Hurts, who was second. Tyreek Hill, for what it's worth, was the offensive player of the year. I have no problem. I actually think Mahomes is the MVP right now. My preseason pick was Josh Allen, but I do think Mahomes has been the best player in the league, and I think he's the MVP. My thing is this, though, Rob, and I've said it on this show and elsewhere. I think that the NFL needs to make a quarterback award that's the equivalent of the Cy Young Award. Because quarterback, the MVP has essentially become a quarterback award, unfortunately. And so an offensive player of the year is kind of, well, the other guy, it's not a quarterback, right? We're going to get, but nobody, it just doesn't have that same prestige. And so maybe what, you know, you call it whatever you want, the Peyton Manning Award, the Joe Montana Award, whatever you want to call it. But I'd like to see that and then your separate MVP award. You could really consider players, you know, at other positions. Now, Rob, pitchers can win the MVP as well, right? And Cy Young and a few have. But for the most part, I'd like to see other position players considered for MVP, and a separate award for quarterbacks, because it's right now no one else essentially has a chance to win MVP.
Yeah, I'll disagree with you from this standpoint. The league has changed. It's not the same league. Running backs aren't the same. There aren't even full-time running backs. Most of them split duties with other people, so that's going to downgrade their numbers. It's a passing league. Patrick Mahomes threw 60 times the other day. How is he not going to be the MVP when you have that much control of the game? And the game has turned into a passing league. So I don't really think that there's anything strange about quarterbacks winning it because of that. And I think even in the case of Tyreek Hill, he can't do it by himself. Like, he's catching all these balls. Somebody's throwing him the ball. So I just don't understand how we'll look at it and think that anybody other than the quarterback, when that's how much influence that they have on the game. We go back to the old days, Chris. We talk about it all the time. When you go look back at some of the great quarterbacks and what they did, they might have thrown 20 times a game. So, right. Of course, you know what I mean? Like the game has changed. So the old quarterbacks didn't win all the time because, you know what? It wasn't a quarterback-heavy league. And Barry Sanders got the football more times than Rodney Peet threw it. You know, like that, right. That is really what happened. Or Eric Dickerson. Or
close.
Or some of these guys. I mean, it was definitely.
Guys would run 300, 350, 350 times a year.
Right.
And quarterbacks, some quarterbacks would throw that much. You're right.
Right. Yeah. And now, Chris, they've just bastardized the game so much into just arena football. That's the only way. There's almost no way anybody else is going to be the MVP unless some guy has 20 sacks. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be, like, so eye-popping or so game-changing in order for that to happen. But we have jumped that shark with quarterbacks, and like it or not, because of the way the game is played, or unless, Chris, we get a dynamic runner where some team says, this guy is going to be the offense and we're running the football and we're going to ride this guy out and have our quarterback only throw on third downs or once in a while, you know what I mean, to get a first down when we really need it. Until we get there, I don't see this changing.
Yeah, I would disagree. And you make some good points because obviously the game has changed. But still, you still do have a few bell cows. For instance, Rob, The top four vote getters were Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Derrick Henry was fifth. I mean, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb. Now, Chubb's team isn't winning, so obviously he's not going to be considered very highly. But they're running the ball and getting the same yardage that the running backs of the past got. Those three. Jonathan Taylor last year obviously was, you know, for Indianapolis. Defensively, and I get it, defensive players typically haven't won it for the most part in any era. But, you know, there certainly could be an argument for Micah Parsons. A lot I've been debating on our show, whether it was Greg Jennings, Jeff Schwartz, former player today, Nick Wright. They all think Tyreek Hill is the Dolphins' most valuable player. I think it's Tua. But that's to my point. Those are, you know, examples of people seeing guys at other positions who they think deserve the award or deserve more consideration than that team's quarterback. So I do think even in this pass heavy age, a quarterback still can't do it by himself. To your point, Aaron, you said like earlier, a lot of the great quarterbacks didn't win it back then because they didn't control the game as much. But even still, even with Aaron Rodgers throwing it a lot more than the other quarterbacks, he hasn't won but one. You know, Peyton Manning only won two. So you still, besides Tom Brady, I mean, nobody's won a ton since Joe Montana won four. So I still think there are definitely guys at other positions that should get far more consideration. And it's just interesting, Rob. I almost don't remember when it became almost solely a quarterback award, but it has. And I think it just kind of, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
I think it shouldn't be that way.
The last 5 years, I guess there's only been two players other than the quarterbacks who've gotten votes, right?
To even get a vote, right. Let alone win it.
Cooper Kupp and Todd Gurley, right? I think are the only two. So I get that, but because even in the Cooper Kupp situation, right, Stafford was throwing the ball to him, and people didn't look at Stafford in that light. But I think that's where the problem lies, is those guys can't do it by themselves, right? They need somebody to get them the ball. Calvin Johnson put up unbelievable numbers with Stafford. He never won an MVP despite his unbelievable numbers. Again, they didn't win.
Well, that's an interesting thing too, Rob.
They didn't win, you know?
Right,
like,
right. So receivers have become more important part of the game. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and I hear you about could they win it over quarterback? That's a discussion for sure. But they're certainly more important than running backs nowadays in most cases.
And let's not forget, it was 2012 with Adrian Peterson? Since 2006, yeah, only one non-quarterback has won. So what is that, Chris? 2012, so 10 years, right? It's been 10 years. Adrian Peterson had an unbelievable year. And I don't know, we could go back and look at the quarterbacks. I don't think they had jumped the shark and thrown the ball as many times as they do it now.
Nah, not now.
10 years
not
ago.
Yet. Right.
But like I was just saying.
But it still was viewed as a quarterback. What'd you say? So once since 2006?
Yeah, since 2000.
No, he won it in 2012, but right, the last running back before him was 2006.
I think 2006, yeah. So it's been 15, 16 years.
Lawrence Taylor.
And LT.
LaDainian Thomas.
LT
was gone.
I'm with you. Right, but you know what, Chris? I'm with you. Every time I hear LT,
I know. That's the first name I think is Lawrence
Taylor. Are we old or is that?
Look, LaDainian Tomlinson was great, but LT.
There's one LT.
That's and what it's Lawrence Taylor.
I was always like that. Like, I don't know if I would want that as my nickname. You know what I mean?
Like, you're right.
Give
it's
me
like
something
MJ.
Else.
MJ yeah. in basketball.
To me,
it's
there's only two MJs to me.
Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan.
right?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Pete Rose, we all know the story, one of the greatest players ever, the all-time hits leader. How many guys have had over 4,000 hits?
Off the top of my head, a couple. I want to say Ty Cobb.
He's the leader. Yeah, it might be just two, you think?
I don't have it in front of me. A lot of guys have.
Rob G, see if you can look that up.
Yeah, I think
just
it's
those two. Ty Cobb and Pete Rose.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Or he's looking at it?
No, he looked it up.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Those two guys. Okay.
Yeah. But he wrote a letter to Rob Manfred, the commissioner, to try to get back in the Hall of Fame. Let me see if I can read a little bit of it. But yeah, he's trying to get back in. Here it is, Pete Rose. I am writing today for three reasons. First, because at my age, I want to be a 100% sure that you understand how much I mean it when I say that I'm sorry. Second, to ask for your forgiveness. And third, because I still think every day about what it would mean to be considered for the Hall of Fame. He's 81 years old now, Rob. 1989 was given a lifetime ban from baseball. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't want to sound like a mean guy, but they gave Pete Rose so many opportunities, Chris, and he was so stubborn and would not listen to the Major League Baseball. They had the goods on him. Anybody could sit around and say whatever they want about gambling. At that time, and Chris, you covered baseball, the biggest sign in the room said if you gamble on baseball, what, Chris? That you're banned from the game, right?
Right.
You couldn't miss the sign. It was so big. And baseball a few years back, Chris, I don't know if you remember when they were doing, I can't remember what year it is because they all blend together. We had the All-Star game in Cincinnati, and they had the, the Mount Rushmore of each team.
Right.
And they couldn't put together a Mount Rushmore of the Cincinnati Reds without Pete Rose. And Pete was on that list of the four players, and baseball allowed him to come to Cincinnati, Chris. Do you remember? And take part?
I remember, yep.
He was not supposed to be at the ballpark ever in a sanctioned event for Major League Baseball.
Right.
And they allowed him.
Is that when Jim Gray?
It was an interview, yeah.
Right.
And Pete, Chris, they tried to, that was when they were softening.
So do you think they were, because
I think they were softening
the context,
at that point.
Yeah, I feel like, look, man, even, I mean, people that commit heinous crimes serve a certain term, right? 30 years, 50 years, whatever it might be, life sometimes. But this has been 30 some odd years for him. But to your point, tell us what you're saying, because it's one thing if they've never really budged or even opened the door.
I think they've opened the door. And then when he wrote the book, he lied for 14 years that he didn't do it. Then he wrote a book, Chris, saying that he did it to make money off the book, if you remember that. That's when baseball was mad at him, when they allowed him to do the Cincinnati thing, and then he comes out with a book saying he did it after he called everybody in Major League Baseball liars for 14 years, despite the information that they had on Pete. So all I'm saying is Pete would be in the Hall of Fame right now, Chris, if when they busted him, he apologized and said, I made a mistake, and I'm going to Gamblers Anonymous, and I'm so sorry, I never meant to hurt the game. I believe that. That's not what he did.
Do you?
Believe that. I do believe that. I'm not saying that day or that year.
Right.
But you gotta own it first before people can forgive you. Come on.
Well, I'm saying. I'm not justifying it, but when a person's initially caught a lot of times, and I'm talking about caught doing something like that, you know, versus, I mean, Kyrie Irving, there was no excuse for him not to apologize, you know, last week. So I'm not talking about something like that. But I'm talking about a lot of times when people are caught doing something illegal or a crime or something, it's not unusual for them to initially deny it. What's more damning to me is, as you were saying, years later, decades later, he still was doing it. And so it's really unfortunate
Chris,
that he's not going to be in the Hall. But, you know, I feel the same way about Bonds and Alex Rodriguez and Clemens, guys who clearly are some of the best players that ever play, like the ultra elite, and they're not in there.
Yeah, I just think in the case of Pete Rose that he's done most of the damage to himself. There's no reason baseball wouldn't want its all-time hit leader in the Hall of Fame. I've been to the Hall of Fame a number of times. All of his memorabilia, his bats, everything is in there, Chris. It's not like they've ignored.
It's just not a bust.
It's just not a bust of him. Exactly. That's what's not there. And I'm saying Pete could have been involved or been there had he had some humility for a long time, you know, like just admit it and stop blaming baseball, right?
Right.
For what he did. And he never took ownership of it. And I think that's why he's in this predicament. I get it. He's 81. He's probably thinking, how many years do I have left? It's going to be a shame that I'm not going to see it. And that's why he's saying, I'm sorry now. That letter should have been written 25 years ago, Chris, for real.
Do you think he'll get in? I mean, he'll probably, you know, I mean, not to sound morbid, but ultimately he's going to die, you know, within the next decade or so, presumably. Do you think he'll get in after he dies? Not immediately after, but yeah, at some point, 20, 30 years from now?
I don't know. I just think that he was on the Fox pregame show, Chris, and then the allegations about him having...
That's the thing, too. Because he was really good.
He was good on that.
He was like a poor man's Barkley.
Thank you. It was a funny... He had a great gig, and a lot of the kids didn't even know he was a great player. He was like this funny guy,
right,
on the pregame show. You know it, Chris. He was really good.
Great. It was great.
And then there were allegations about him, and people can go read him if they want, about some underage girl
really
30 years ago or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then he got taken off that show. So
Yep, yep. All right. Looks like whatever the case, he's not getting in anytime soon. I don't think Manfred is gonna budge.
I don't think that's on the top of his list. No, right. You know what I mean? I just don't.
Totally agree.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We talked about Jeff Saturday with Eric Dickerson. And, Rob, I'm sorry. I think it's...
But you're not the only one, Chris.
I haven't heard one person yet, including Jeff Saturday.
Right.
Who said, it makes sense. And he's obviously defending his football knowledge and... nobody's questioned. I'm sure he knows the game. But that don't mean it doesn't. Hasn't every offensive coordinator that's been given a head coaching job known the game?
Right. And Chris. And you know how many have failed? You know how hard it's. You know,
right.
These are guys who have put in the time and the energy and they fail.
Absolutely. Rob, I really think, and I don't know. I mean, I guess Jeff Saturday maybe has had aspirations to be a head coach, right? He was on TV. He seemed like he was doing that fine.
Yeah, but he said, you know, that when they offered him the job, he was shocked.
He was shocked, right?
That's what he said. He was shocked.
I think he's obviously friendly with Jim Irsay. And maybe he shared with Irsay that, you know, I might one day want to, you know, get into coaching. I don't know. But my point is this, Rob, and I said this yesterday with Ephraim. If Jeff Saturday really, if coaching – is really a huge aspiration of his, and he really wants to make a career out of being a head coach. Rob, I think he should have said this to Jim Irsay when Irsay last week offered him the job. Jim, I'm interested, but let me look into a staff. Let me do some, you know, get myself ready, and then I'll coach your team next year.
Right.
Give me this off season. In fact, this season, I'll start now. Putting my thoughts together. You know what I mean? Talking to people, asking people different questions. Rob, a seasoned coach.
But see, Chris, you know why they didn't want to do that?
Stepping in at this point in the season.
But the reason they didn't want to do that is because then they would have to be open to interviewing minorities.
Rooney rule.
The Rooney rule. And then they would be like, how did you pick Jeff Saturday over Eric Bieniemy, over Leftwich? That's why he had to do it
or
this
even
way.
Not even just black. Well, you're
but
right.
But I'm just saying.
The number one thing would have been minority. You're choosing a guy with no experience over minority.
And let's give the Irsays credit. They've had two black coaches.
Right.
Okay. So I'm not saying
Tony
that their family.
Jim Caldwell.
Yeah. Right. And
their only
and,
Super Bowl was with a black coach.
And, you know, Caldwell replaced Tony Dungy. You know what I mean, Chris?
Right.
So I give them credit. I'm not saying.
It's not saying they're racist.
They're racist or that, you know, whatever. But the point is, it just would look bad because we still have this issue and there's so many. You know what I mean? Black coaches still looking for their opportunity, Chris. So over those guys with those resumes for a guy with no experience, then they'd have some splaining to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it would look bad.
That makes all the sense in the world. Because now you're right. This is exempt from the Rooney rule.
Yes.
He's an interim. But Jim Irsay said himself that he wants him to, you know, hopefully going forward, he'll be their coach. And, you know, I'm sure he's thinking he can come in and see what he likes, what he doesn't like. He can establish his culture and all that. But Rob, this is the most. And look, we'll see. I mean, I'm a little torn in that. And I don't know Jeff Saturday from Adam. Okay. Never met him. I wouldn't mind seeing him succeed. He seems like a legitimately nice guy.
Oh, no.
He was a good player.
From everything I've seen, I never worked with him at ESPN. I think he was there after us.
He wasn't there when we were there.
He seems
good. I like him on TV, right?
Yeah, he seemed like a really nice guy. It's nothing personal against him,
here's the other thing. This is why I'm torn. Right? So part of me would like to see him succeed. But then the other part of me is like, well, and maybe, I don't know, maybe this isn't a bad thing, but if he succeeds.
Oh, this will be happening.
This would turn the whole NFL coaching carousel on its head. And again, that might not be a bad thing.
Well, the only problem is, Chris,
or particularly for minority coaches.
Well, only if, I don't know if they're in tight with owners like that to where that could happen. See, and then you could, it would be more like, hey, we can circumvent the Rooney rule, do it this way. You know what I mean? Like, there's all kinds
of
things.
Don't you think they would amend, if they had to, I could see them just amending the Rooney rule.
If this
say he succeeded. I don't know if that would be any worse for black coaches. Just, it's already not, doesn't seem good for him, right?
Well, only because
it might be worse, but I don't know for sure. But I it would turn everything upside down.
Yeah. It just depends on knowing somebody.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
which, let's face it, a lot of black coaches, that's part of the problem now. Right. Is they don't know, or if they know them, they're not tight.
They're
or
not
they're
that not, friendly,
you know, they're
right?
They're not familiar, like, right? It's just a different.
And
different
people normally hire people who they know. So that, but it's not fair when guys have put in the work and they've given them all these things that they need to do. I will admit, as much as I don't believe Jeff Saturday will succeed in doing this, I think it's a crapshoot. And the chances are that it's not going to be good. I'm actually going to be betting against the Colts every week for the rest of the season. I'm straight up, Chris.
It's going to be really interesting.
But I would like to see him beat Josh McDaniels this week. I'm sorry, Rob G. If they
you brought that up.
If they beat the Raiders.
We mentioned the coordinators who, Rob, we've seen guys who were great coordinators. And Josh McDaniels, if you want to give the credit to Belichick or Tom Brady or whoever, look, he was
offensively and give him credit,
right. And he seemed that he did a great job, but he has been abysmal as a coach. Abysmal in Denver. Abysmal. 13-11-17, I think, was his record, and abysmal, obviously, with the Raiders. Because let's see, Rob, the Raiders went 10-7. Last year with a different coach, Rich Bisaccia, who replaced John Gruden, made the playoffs, added Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones, and now they're 2-6. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the coach.
Right.
You said it. If he loses to Jeff Saturday, we were joking with Eric Dickerson about he can't even come to the locker room. But Rob, if you lose to Jeff Saturday, first of all, you've got way more talent, right?
No doubt.
And
no
secondly,
doubt.
Secondly, I mean, the dude just a week ago, he was doing what you and I are doing.
No doubt. He was standing in front of a camera talking about
making
football.
Making us laugh. Really?
And Chris, it would be amazing. I think if you're Josh McDaniels, you know, like, this is what you can't. This would be taking your nightmare first year with the Raiders to another level. It really would be. And people would be up in arms because there's no way the Raiders should be this bad. Just no way.
No, right. That's number one. They shouldn't be 2-6, number one. But if you lose, I agree.
And
this
don't forget,
would be
Chris,
way worse than Nathaniel Hackett.
Right. No doubt.
The 64-yard field goal, as bad as that was. I don't know that Mark Davis would do this.
He won't do it.
He would be justified if they lost to the Colts, if he fired Josh McDaniel right then and there. You would be justified.
You would be, and only one little caveat. Rob G, are you there? This is the way I want it to go down. The Raiders are up 17-0, and then they lose to the Colts.
Oh, jeez.
Chris, they've lost three games.
You know what the record, the
Rob
NFL
G,
record
would
is
you be
for
sick?
Losses in a season where you've led by 17 points or more?
Four?
Three.
Three, and they have it.
They've tied it already, and they got half a season left.
Rob G, as a Raiders fan, just be, you know, call it like you see it. If they do lose to the Colts, would you be open for them to fire Josh McDaniel?
They should have fired him last week.
Right. Really?
He's a horrible head coach. I'm not saying he's not a good play caller or anything like that. Obviously, he proved that in New England. But he is not a leader of men. We talked about it last week. Devontae Adams, who doesn't talk, has gone on record multiple times. And
remember,
and
we said we didn't hear him talk until he got the Taco Bell commercial.
Exactly. And then, you know, we'll get into this with Lamar Mitchell here in about 20 minutes. But the Raiders opened up, I think, as 6-point favorites at home. That number's been bet down to 4.5.
Now, that's crazy.
So
I'm going to say
what does that say about how people feel about the Raiders right now?
My mind is telling me there's no way the Raiders could lose this game.
I totally agree, my Chris. Gut, I'm betting heavy gut, Raiders.
My gut is telling me it's possible.
Wow.
I mean, like, I think the Raiders will win. They
I'm gonna say,
win.
Chris,
it's just it's almost like Rob, if you took Alabama or whoever, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, and had them play the worst team in the NFL. There's no way they should win.
I'm gonna tell you straight up. I've never talked about how much money I bet on a game, but I'm gonna be straight with you. No lie, no BS. I'm betting the Raiders. What'd you say the line is, Rob G? 4.5?
Right now it's 4.5, according to BetMGM.
Right. -4.5. And I'm going to put a $500 wager on that game. I think this is the lock of the year.
You would think.
We're going to get the microwave takes ready on Monday.
You got it? You got
the microwave takes ready.
How you feel about it, Rob G?
Rob G, you think I'm crazy? Seriously.
Every logical part of your being is saying – Raiders, but my gut's not telling me they're gonna lose. But my gut's saying, there's a decent.
And you know what it'll be, Rob G? It's the Raiders will win by 3, and I'll lose $500. Right?
No, what? And I think they're going to win, but to say that they'll lose, I don't think is far fetched at all. Because even if Jeff Saturday's not a good coach, he doesn't have to be, right?
Yeah, but they don't have a quarterback.
No, but
they got a lot
of
other issues.
Here's the thing: this is just even a practical football sense.
Right.
They got Jonathan Taylor.
Right.
They can run him 35 times because Jeff Saturday is like, hey, I want to run the football. The Raiders don't stop the run very well. And you can tell on the offensive end, the Raiders are fracturing underneath McDaniels as head coach.
Right. But they don't have any these leads, though.
Yeah,
17 points. They've got the leads.
They always blow them because
they
don't have any confidence in him, it looks like.
Right.
And you're seeing Devontae Adams say little snide comments. Derek Carr's like, well, I'm not going to say it publicly, but we'll talk about it. Like, you can feel it crumbling right now. And, if they lose, it's just going to break completely.
To me, a lot of it comes, like, whether or not the Colts have a legitimate chance to win comes down to this. Are the players in that locker room disgusted that Jeff Saturday was hired?
Yeah, that's another one.
That's it. To me, that's it. If
remember,
the players
could
are
be a
like,
faction.
Yo,
you know why?
We retired of Frank Reich.
But
we
Reggie
ready to
Wayne
roll.
Was
He's
there.
He's a former player. Let's go. If they, or even if they're just like, hey, it's all right, cool, you know, whatever. We're going to go out there and do our thing. Then they have a decent chance. If they are like, man, are you serious? Like, we out here busting our butts.
And they brought a high school coach in.
And you bringing in somebody, a high school coach, like, if that's their attitude, they got absolutely no chance. But to me, that's the big thing. And I know I don't want to just belittle the head coach, but obviously he's just going to be relying on the other guys for the first. You know, he's going to be there as the voice, right?
I agree, but the only problem with that, Chris, is that those coaches have already been there when they've been losing. You know what I mean? So. If he's relying on them, it's not like they changed the whole staff and everything's changing. That's why I just don't think they're that good. And I think that this is a game that the Raiders can't afford to lose. I really believe that.
You're right. Well, they're done pretty much if they lose.
Right. But Josh could be
McDaniels,
his career.
As
a head coach.
I mean, yeah. I know they paid him money. Rob, like I said, they would be fully justified to not even let him coach another day. I mean, if they lose, I don't want to say don't let him get on the plane or the bus or whatever, but come on.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could. would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.